I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, he is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Rick Bucher. Insider calls, as always, brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. He joins us now. Hey, Rick, what's going on, man?
How are you, gentlemen? How about the Memphis Grizzlies?
How about them
Tennessee Titans?
Can we
go there as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. They did end the dynasty. You know, I mean, that deserves a lot of credit.
No doubt about it, and particularly where they started at the beginning of the year. To see that team come together, obviously finding Ryan Tannehill and the return of the meat grinder running back, it's fun. I all of America is no doubt celebrating the Tennessee Titans simply because the Wicked Witch is dead.
Yeah,
that's more than anything else. Not that they love the Titans, they just hate the Patriots.
Yep,
good point.
It feels like this time the Wicked Witch really is dead. Okay, you mentioned it, the Memphis Grizzlies. What are we to make of them? They're a half game out of the playoffs right now in the West. They're coming off two straight wins on this road trip. What are we to make of them, Rick?
I believe that they're taking advantage of the fact that nobody's looking. They're still going to have the mindset that the Grizzlies are, okay, you know what, if we kind of put it together a good quarter or two, we should be able to win a game. And looking at their youth and their lack of any established star, and, you run a risk. If you take the Grizzlies too lightly, you're going to pay a price because they do have some young talent. They have, their athleticism in particular is unique and special. And so there's certain matchups where controlling the tempo and not allowing the Grizzlies to get going and let those young guys get their confidence, you run into trouble. And I mean, it even goes to, like a guy like Crowder the other night, who I don't think anybody's going to make a big deal out of. But he dominated, the matchups against the Clippers the other night. And as a result, you get an unexpected win there. That's what can happen. I really like what they're developing there as far as a professional mindset. They're going to be up and down. But I think they're up and down as a result of their youth as opposed to their focus or their attention. What I'm seeing is a team that consistently goes out and plays hard, and that will win you a lot more games than you expect. Just because over the course of an 82-game schedule, if you simply try to find a way to be consistent and don't beat yourself on a nightly basis, you're going to win a lot of games. And I like the fact that I don't think they're a playoff team. But the fact that they might have a chance to toy with that idea and play meaningful games to the end of the year is going to be very valuable for Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Are you as drawn to watching him, Ja Morant, as we are, right? We're trying to figure out, it feels like you got something special here, but we'll just use potential superstar, right? Like the potential is there. Does it feel that way for you, or is it just another, hey, this looks like a good young rookie point guard that's going to be a lot? Or do you sort of see maybe the greatness that we're telling ourselves we see?
Yeah, I wouldn't put him on the Luka Doncic level. I mean, Luka Doncic for me is must-see TV every night. I want to see what he's doing. But Ja is right there. If you just give me, recent comparison, I'll watch Ja Morant before I'll watch De'Aaron Fox. Ja Morant, to me, I'm really curious to see where he goes and what he does. But there's something special about the kid. I feel like he knows what he's doing or trying to figure out what he's doing. You know, De'Aaron Fox, I think, is talented, but you know, he's a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. As I said, he's not on the Luka level, mm-hmm. but do I think he's special? Yes, I've thought that from the very beginning, and for me, it is. When I'm tuning into Grizzly games, and let's just stop there. I'm tuning
That's
into
it.
Grizzlies games.
Right, at this
okay?
stage. Right, exactly. That's yep. point
there,
taken.
If I'm at home and I can watch a couple at a time, the Grizzlies are going to get my attention because I want to see what Ja's doing. And there's a couple other guys, Brandon Clark, mm-hmm. Dylan Brooks. There's it's not just Ja and Jaren. There's a lot of young,
absolutely
nice pieces on this team that bear watching.
Rick, the reports today were that Ja Morant has been invited to take part in the slam dunk contest. Should he take advantage of that opportunity?
Absolutely. 100% yes. It is not an easy thing, but it is a rite of passage. And the truth is, what bothers me is that we've got too many players who are worried about, it seems to me, social media reaction, brand, having a video clip of them, you know, not succeeding in whatever it is. Like, go out and take your cuts. Like, go out and be willing to step up and say, you know what, I'm going to compete. Again, I hate to be belaboring this. One of the things that really bothered me about the Sacramento Kings, and I'm bringing them into the conversation because I see the Grizzlies and the Kings. Kings should be a little farther on the timeline than
Agreed.
The Grizzlies, actually.
Yep.
But they're both young. They both have young inside-outside guys. De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. It really bothered me that Marvin and De'Aaron bailed out on the national team this summer and said, with the excuse, we're going to prepare for the season. My understanding is they weren't sure what minutes they were going to get, or they were going to have to compete for minutes, and they decided they didn't want to run the risk of being on the outside looking in. That to me is a terrible sign of the if these are the leaders of your team, I want them stepping up and competing and showing that they're unafraid to compete in a very small way. You know, whether he wins or loses, Ja is simply willing to step up and say, you know what, let me see what I can do on the big stage in Chicago. Let me see if I can compete. That to me is more important than whether he wins or loses the contest.
How do we fix all-star voting? Rick, you made the point. You know, all those votes for Taco Fall, 100-something thousand votes is 100,000 too many. I got a soft spot for him because he's an AAC guy around
sure.
here. But come on, that's ridiculous. Is there a way to fix it? Should we care? I mean, it's still a yearly event.
Yeah, it's a great question. What I feel like we should do is we have to do one of two things. We have to dispense with, and this is kind of a fault of ours, is I believe we attach too much importance to All-Star. What I'd really like to see is expand the All-NBA selections at the end of the year and make that how we truly judge who the best players in the league are. I think when we talk about All-Stars, we attach something to it, and that is not necessarily accurate. And if we're going to make this about the fans and we're going to make this an exhibition, then let's do that. Let's just pick the most entertaining players. And look, this would require a sweeping change. But, short of taking the vote out of the hands mm-hmm. of the fans, I just don't see how it doesn't continue to be a popularity contest. And I don't know that I want to take it out of the fans' hands. Keep it in the fans' hands, but just don't attach the same meaning to it. Like, we're picking the best players. We're not. We're picking, you know, a mix of who the coaches want to reward in selecting the bench, and who the fans like or would be most intrigued by seeing on an all-star floor. And that's where I think, you know, a Taco Fall ends up getting votes, or an Alex Caruso, because there's this Caruso, like, cult following, right? And so I just, you know, I mean, all of it, we probably don't need to take it too seriously, but I just, it's a mixed bag, because guys who are legitimate all-stars and they're out there, and then you see other guys, or you see other guys getting votes, and you're like, okay, it really undermines the value of it to everybody.
Yep. We are, of course, talking to Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Rick Bucher. Insider calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. You can, as always, hear Rick on Scal and Pal, which is a brand-new NBA podcast out now on Radio.com and the Radio.com app. All you have to do is just search Scal. Rick, how active should the Grizzlies be, and how active do you expect them to be a month from now with the trade deadline? Because they've sort of played themselves, and I don't know if I'd call it a conundrum, but, you know, listen, they're a half game out, whatever that means. They're a half game out. Yeah. So how active should they be? How active do you expect them to be at the trade deadline?
I wouldn't change anything, unless it's obviously finding a suitor for Andre Iguodala and seeing if you can pick up an asset there. And I would imagine the market for that is going to improve as we get closer to the trade deadline and teams have to make a decision in terms of where they are. I still feel like, you know, something is going to happen there. I haven't heard anything definitive, but this is the difficulty when you don't have that definitive team that everybody's gunning to beat. Because if you think you're a contender and you have to beat the Golden State Warriors, then you're looking at it from the context of what do we have or what don't we have that would give us the ability to knock them off. When you don't know which team you're gunning for, teams have more of a tendency to say, we're good. It's going to be a match. It's going to matter where we're seated and what the matchups are in the postseason in terms of what we get there or not. Let's not unduly spend any assets or take on any contract or make a move, because we don't really know what we're gunning for. So that may negatively impact, you know, what they can get for Iggy. But ultimately, it doesn't make any sense to kind of have him die on the vine. I mean, if you end up getting a second round pick or whatever it is, that's better than nothing. And at the same time, I don't see any way in which they, at least I haven't heard, where they're going to change direction, or he's going to change direction. They're going to be like, hey, we got a chance to make it to the playoffs. Let's get Iggy in the fold and let's make this happen.
If you're to the same point that you make about Iggy with Crowder, if you're one of those teams that feels like it's close, you feel the same way. You mentioned, I mean, he was good in that Clippers game. Is that a guy, too, that if you're one of those teams, he's attractive, too, isn't he?
I would think so, for sure. And if I could make a move there, then I would do that. I wouldn't look at it like, I wouldn't be playing for the record. And I would say,
I'm with you.
I've had the same conversation with, you know, when it comes with the Knicks, now that they've started to win a couple games. Look, if you get an offer from Morris, or you get an offer for any of your guys, make that move, because it's still about the development of the young guys. And we're talking about what? You're going to go without that veteran guy for the last 6-7 weeks of the season. It's not like, you know, whatever presence he might have in the locker room, that's already been established. It's not going to hurt you by losing it. And I'd rather have the asset moving forward to say we're going to be bigger and better next year.
Rick, the Lakers are reportedly now listening to offers for Kyle Kuzma. is he out? Like, is that sort of a foregone conclusion at this point?
Again, it's a matter of what are you going to get for him? And I'll go back to last year where, you know, after LeBron got hurt, the feeling was that all that young talent sort of got exposed as being not as good as everybody was touting it to be. And what's happened in New Orleans, I would think, is a reflection of that. I don't know what you're going to get for Kuzma. I still have the question of whether he's more valuable to them than what they could get in exchange for him. So that's going to be the challenge. Obviously, his trainer saying what he said about LeBron and Kyle kind of doubling down on that raises some questions about the chemistry of that team. But I look at the Lakers. They're so top heavy with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And then it falls off precipitously after that. And I include Kyle Kuzma in that mix. And what we've seen from the Raptors, and I would say with the Golden State Warriors as well, everybody thinks about having a big three. It's not a big three. Like, you get three great players and you're on your way. It's about, and I think the Raptors proved this as much as anyone, it's about having depth. It's about having, you need a star or a superstar. But then after that, it's, you need 7-8 players that can defend, that you can comfortably switch on defense, and that are all a threat to score if you leave them alone. That, to me, is the key to having a truly competitive team. And if you want a window into why the Grizzlies have been surprisingly good, it's not because Ja Morant is electric. That's part of it. But it's because of the guys that we mentioned, the Crowder and the Dylan Brooks and the Brandon Clark. And you're getting contribution from 7-8 different guys. And that's truly what makes a team good in today's NBA. We've got this image that it's all about having, you got to have three stars. You know, Lakers got to have three stars. No, Lakers are really good because Anthony Davis and LeBron James can make a lot of other guys better. But when we get to the playoffs, when we get to games that really matter, it goes down the line. And how good your third guy is versus the other team's third guy, fourth guy versus fourth guy, that begins to play itself out. And so, you know, whether they move Kuzma or not, I think the Lakers are very vulnerable because they're so top heavy in their talent.
Rick, read a tweet where you said, talked about the first time you met David Stern, how he wanted to talk to you about your coverage of the discuss your coverage of the lockout. Was he?
Yes.
This is what I want to know from you. Was he a kind of guy that paid attention to everything that was written about his league? You know, that was in every story and wanted to talk to every writer afterwards, or did he pay much? What, you know, kind of control the message? What was that like? What was he
well,
like?
I was at the Washington Post,
yep.
So he was very cognizant
obviously.
Of the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Boston Globe. And he was also good friends with George Solomon, who was the sports editor at the time. Mm-hmm. So I think at that time they were still referencing the lockout as a player strike. And I took great exception to that. I'm like, the owners aren't coming to the table to negotiate, which meant David Stern isn't coming to the table to negotiate. He's strong-arming these players. And this was at the time where you had the players doing stupid stuff like, you know, I don't know how to pay for my seven cars. And they were a PR disaster. But nonetheless, when it came to the actual negotiations, they were getting squeezed. It wasn't like they were striking. They were the NBA was essentially strong-arming the players at that point. So I wrote to that effect, mm-hmm. and David called George and myself up, had us fly up to meet with him in his offices, and he opened up like a freaking dossier on my work, highlighted,
wow.
and he just pinned my ears back for the first 20 minutes of that meeting. And I mean, it was impressive. And then he went from the iron-fisted David Stern to the kind, gentle, let me tell you what we have here. Let me give you an exclusive. And it was just a master. You said controlling the message, mm-hmm. controlling the narrative. He was a master at it. And he and I subsequently, I was in his office and had other conversations. He was always congenial. He may be combative. He may disagree. But he was such a great evangelist for the NBA that we would not have the NBA that we have today without David. He was the right man in the right place and indispensable to his growth. And I'll tell you, I just saw him at an event that I do, the Sports PR Summit. He came in and did a conversation and still sharp, still on it. Still congenial as ever. I will miss him greatly, and as will the entire basketball world.
Yeah, no question about that. And then last thing, Rick, have the Golden State Warriors already submitted their draft choice? Have they already sent it in? can you do that in January? And have they done it with James Wiseman?
Yeah, they might as well. You know, the only question, and this is a legitimate question when it comes to Joe Lacob, the Golden State Warriors owner, I guarantee you, he is going to look at that pick and he's going to say, what can we get that will make us title contenders right now? And I don't know what's out there. I don't know what will be out there. But if it's, we got to wait for Wiseman to develop. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if Golden State really explores, can we get a superstar in exchange for this number one pick? Because, wow, look, this is the same guy that was willing to trade Klay Thompson for Kevin Love. And, I mean, they are always looking to reinvent the wheel and win right now. And there's not a whole lot of patience there. So I don't know what they would get. I don't know if there's something out there, but don't know. I would, the answer is no. Joe Lacob will look at everything, and you know, he's always trying to prove that he's light years ahead of everybody else, and they don't look like it right now, but I guarantee you he wants another opportunity to show that they are.
Yeah. But hey, Rick, man, this was
awesome.
Thank
you for this.
Appreciate the time as always.
You got it, guys.
Yep. He is at radio.com sports NBA insider Rick Bucher. Insider calls always brought to you by the new gas powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.